Welcome to the Diabetes Digital Podcast. I'm Wendy.
And I'm Jess, and we're best friends, registered dietitians, and diabetes educators.
Through our telehealth platform, diabetesdigital.co, we offer accessible and personalized virtual nutrition counseling for people with diabetes and prediabetes.
Visit diabetesdigital.co, that's C-O, to book your first appointment. We accept insurance and offer affordable self-pay options. Now, let's get into today's episode.
Welcome back. Thanks for joining us this week for another episode of the Diabetes Digital Podcast. Today, we're going to be covering five ways to lower your blood sugar with food. And when it comes to just things that you could do related to food that'll help with your blood sugars, there's a lot of misinformation out there. And what I've noticed, especially being Dominican, a lot of Latin American people do this. It's like, oh, well, my grandmother or my auntie, or like, you know, there's just like so much like WhatsApp information floating around. And although some of it might be helpful, it's not necessarily harmful. Some of it is just very questionable. It either doesn't have like a lot of evidence behind it, meaning research, because like I'm all about just like trying things as long as they're not harmful. But like some of the stuff is like it straight up can be dangerous. Yeah. Like some of the things that I see out there. So today we want to just like simplify things, give you five practical evidence-based ways to lower your blood sugar.
Yes. And disclaimer, before we jump into it, this podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be considered a substitute for medical advice. Okay. So today we're talking specifically about medical nutrition therapy, also known as MNT. And MNT is a personalized approach to improving health through targeted dietary interventions. And again, there's a lot of information online, or there's a lot of people who make claim to be nutritionists or nutrition consultants. And these people may not be practicing medical nutrition therapy because technically you have to be a dietitian to practice this. And we'll talk more about the difference between a dietitian and a nutritionist a little bit later in the episode. But studies suggest that MNT, medical nutrition therapy, can lower your hemoglobin A1C by up to 2% in 3 to 6 months and also reduce hospital admissions by 29%. So that's a huge deal. Not only is that going to save you money, save you medical bills, but it can also help improve your quality of life.
So the first strategy that I'm going to cover is understanding whole foods and their role in blood sugar management. So going for minimally processed foods that are rich in fiber, vitamins, and minerals, they're going to provide you with a lot of those essential nutrients, vitamins, and minerals, and they tend to be higher in fiber as well. So your fruits, your vegetables, your whole grains, they help to slow down digestion and absorption of glucose, which is very helpful for someone that has diabetes. It'll help to stabilize your blood sugar levels, prevent those spikes that might happen. And I mean, with that being said, even though we encourage a high intake of minimally processed foods, there is still a place for foods that might be a little more processed.
And that's not to say that you can never eat processed foods, because I think when you hear whole foods are can be full of fiber and might be better for your blood sugar, that people tend to hear like, oh, well, I can never have processed foods. And that's not true. Processed foods can be easy, they're convenient, and many of them are still nutritious. For example, bagged lettuce, that's processed food, right? Because you're not picking it from the ground. It's been washed, it's been cut, it's put in a bag. So processed foods are not good or bad. There's no moral value. And processed foods can be included in your diet in a way that is balanced and nutritious. And if you want more information about this, we have a whole episode on our podcast, which was formerly called the Food Heaven Podcast, with the nutrition tea, and it's called In Defense of Processed Food. So we'll include that in the show notes as well. Strategy two is to understand carbohydrates and eat them consistently. Many people think that when they get a diabetes or prediabetes diagnosis, they have to cut out all carbs, and that could not be farther from the truth. I remember when I was in nutrition school and my first class ever, I sat down and the professor asked why we needed carbohydrates, like what was so important about them. And I'll never forget, somebody said, carbohydrates are the preferred fuel of the brain and central nervous system. And that is true. And there's so many diets that have you cutting out carbs or making all these promises about if you cut out carbs, it's going to cure all these things, but they are the preferred fuel of the brain and central nervous system. So carbs are a primary source of energy, and managing their intake is really important for getting your blood sugar levels at target. So it's really important to understand the difference, though, between simple carbohydrates and complex carbohydrates. So simple carbohydrates might be things like sugary snacks. I'm thinking of Twinkies or donuts or my favorite licorice, red vines. And complex carbohydrates are those carbohydrates found in foods like whole grains and vegetables and legumes. And there is a difference. And oftentimes when you hear, you know, the term diabetes, we think of carbs and glucose, and people don't understand that those complex carbohydrates are so important and we need them. And even the USDA recommends that 50% of our grains come from whole grains, which are going to include those complex carbohydrates. So we can mix and match according to our food preferences, meaning that not everything has to be complex, right? If you're somebody who loves white rice, which I don't blame you, it tastes really good, you can include that into a balanced diet with diabetes, right? So maybe on your plate, you have your white rice and you're going to get your complex carbohydrates more so from vegetables within that meal. So just try to have a balance of different types of carbs whenever possible.
Exactly. And when you're eating your carbohydrates, you, of course, want to add other food groups as well. So you want to include your proteins and your healthy fats, and that's going to be strategy number three. So including proteins like chicken, fish, tofu, beans, peas, those are going to help stabilize your blood sugar because they provide a slow and steady release of energy. And then our healthy fats, which you can find them in avocados, nuts, olive oil, they can also help to moderate the insulin response. They'll help you feel a little more full so that you're less likely to overeat or snack excessively later on throughout the day. If you're skimming on any of these macronutrients like carbs, protein, fat, the likelihood of you having those strong cravings later in the day is going to increase. I was just talking to someone yesterday and she was like, yeah, I just don't understand like why I'm always craving, like it was all carbs. Like she was like, I'm craving like sweets. I'm craving potatoes. I'm craving, you know, like just going down the list of all the carbs. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, I can bet all my money that this person is restricting carbohydrates. And I was like, well, what are you eating? And it was literally like protein salads all day, every day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it makes sense. This is exactly why. Because once you start cutting out these essential nutrients, your body is going to want them even more. So you want to try to do your best to incorporate at least two of the food groups, but ideally three for every meal. Now, strategy number four is mindful meal timing. You want to try to spread your meals throughout the day because this way your blood sugar is going to be a little more stable. If let's say you're like skipping breakfast and lunch and then you're only having dinner, which happens all too often, your blood sugar is going to dip and then you're going to have a huge spike because you're probably going to be eating a larger portion of food later on in the day. So I recommend eating every 3 to 4 hours. That'll keep your blood sugar a little more steady. And it'll just help you feel more satisfied throughout the day. You might have been kind of doing your regular routine for so long. So let's say you're like, yeah, I've been skipping breakfast and lunch for years and I feel fine. I mean, your body has adjusted, but that doesn't necessarily mean that this is ideal for blood sugar management. So initially, it might just take some getting used to. You're probably not going to be very hungry because, you know, your body's just like used to going hours without food. So you might just have to like slowly start introducing food with the goal of just having some consistency with the scheduling and like not going that long without food.
Strategy number five is our favorite strategy for helping people kind of figure out what to eat in a way that feels flexible and not time consuming and not restrictive is the MyPlate method. And the MyPlate method is essentially dividing your plate somewhat, and it doesn't really pan out for every single meal, right? Because like if you have a soup, this you can still use this in terms of proportions, but you don't divide everything out. But let's say you're having a plate and you're having steak and potatoes and a salad. So with the my plate method, you would make about half of your plate the salad, which is non-starchy vegetable, about 1/4 the potatoes, which is carbohydrate, and 1/4 the protein, which in this case would be steak. And you also want to make sure that you're getting some fat in there or some fruit when you can with your meals, just to have that variety. So that's essentially the MyPlate method. Now, some people might find that they do better with having 1/3 of their plate, those non-starchy vegetables, and 1/3 carbs and 1/3 protein. And that's fine too. So there's no right amount of food per se. The right amount of food is the amount that leaves you feeling full and satisfied. Because as Wendy mentioned, restriction is only going to lead you typically to eating past a comfortable fullness later. And that is not great for blood sugar management, because you kind of want a steady stream of food, a steady stream of macronutrients throughout the day. Wendy talked a little bit about mindful meal timing, and this is more so along the lines of mindful eating, right? So we can use the MyPlate method and listen to ourselves and savor every bite, eat without distraction, and pay attention to your feelings of hunger and satisfaction.
Do you want to do a MyPlate fire round game? This is very impromptu, by the way.
Oh, yes, let's do it.
Okay, so you can go first. And what I'll do is I'll just kind of throw a meal time at you, and then you can create a meal that's going to have all of the MyPlate components.
Okay,
ready?
Go for it.
Okay, dinner.
Dinner, I would do probably a piece of salmon, some white rice, and a cucumber salad, something like that. Very simple. And then for my fat, and this is something that I had like the other day, for my fat, I would maybe create some kind of dressing to drizzle on top of it that was flavorful and included some olive oil.
Okay, we'll do one more. You have to do it a little quicker though,
okay,
honey.
Okay.
It's a fire round. Okay. Okay. Breakfast.
Breakfast is very easy because I have the same breakfast most days. Smoothie, where I include for the protein, my protein powder. I don't have a veggie, but I do some berries for my fruit. I do peanut butter for my fat and other things as well. But those are the main components.
Beautiful.
Let me do one for you. What about lunch?
Okay. Okay. Tuna sandwich with the salad on the side.
Perfect. Yeah. So it's very flexible. There's so many things that we can eat and do, and it can be foods from your culture, and it doesn't have to be you throwing out your favorite foods and replacing them with cottage cheese. That's the example I always use because I'm like, ugh. I guess some people do love cottage cheese though. But
yeah, it's funny because I feel like cottage cheese was kind of canceled for a while.
Yes.
But recently it's had this, you know, just like come up where people are making cottage cheese everything. So
it's having a moment.
Yes.
I will say though, I did do a cottage cheese dip that was delicious. And I've been doing this dip since before cottage cheese was canceled, like in the 2000s. And it's literally just cottage cheese blended with some spices like, well, I don't know if garlic powder is a spice, but garlic powder, pepper, salt, and onion powder, maybe a little bit of olive oil, and it's the perfect ranch dip to dip your veggies in. So try it out.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way I eat cottage cheese.
Never ate it, and I don't know. Well, actually, I've had it in pancakes. In Montreal, there is, I mean, I'm sure for those of you that have been to Montreal, you know the spot that I'm talking about, because they're known for their cottage cheese pancakes, and they're incredible. They're like the best pancakes I've ever had. And yeah, the main ingredient is cottage cheese. But
yeah,
like cottage cheese on its own, never had it. I don't know that I will. The texture is just like,
yeah, the texture is interesting. And I'm a cheese gal, yeah. But okay, so there is one bonus thing you can do to help lower your blood sugar with food, and that is consult with a registered dietitian. And we'll talk a little bit more about the difference between dietitian and nutritionist. I mentioned it a little bit at the top of the episode, but you can work with a dietitian to help create an individualized meal plan that considers your specific health needs, preferences, and lifestyle factors for effective diabetes management and prevention. And if you didn't know this before, we have a company that provides dietitians for people who have diabetes or pre-diabetes, where you can meet with us one-on-one. We meet with folks every other week, essentially, or twice a month. And yeah, it's a great way to have somebody in your corner, a coach who can help you with your diabetes or pre-diabetes. And you might be wondering, well, why would I want to meet? Actually, no, pause. So if you're interested in that, you can check out our website, diabetesdigital.co, and figure out if we are a network with your insurance company and meet with one of our dietitians. And you might be wondering, well, why a dietitian? I was meeting with a nutritionist that I found from Instagram. Like, why would I want to meet with a dietitian? And the reason why you would, Wendy, do you want to jump in and talk about that?
Yeah, and the terms nutritionist and dietitian, they're often used interchangeably, but it's important to understand the differences between the two. So a nutritionist can refer to anyone who provides advice or guidance on all food-related things as it relates to nutrition, healthy eating. Whereas with a dietitian, it's a regulated term, and you do have to be a healthcare professional who has met specific educational requirements, professional requirements. There's continuing education. So, you know, there's a very big difference. Even with, like, let's say you're working with a health coach, it doesn't necessarily translate into dietitian. There are dietitians who are health coaches, but there are health coaches who are not dietitians. And in this case, especially for someone who has a chronic condition like diabetes, you absolutely want to make sure that you're in touch with a dietitian. So if you feel like you might be ready to work with one of our registered dietitians, you can visit our website. It's diabetesdigital.co, and you'll see that there's a Get Started link, which has a quiz that'll get you started. And we're here to support you every step of the way. So thanks for tuning in. We hope you found this helpful, and we'll catch you next week. Bye. Thanks for joining us for today's episode. If you're interested in nutrition counseling with one of our expert dietitians to help improve your prediabetes or diabetes, visit us at diabetesdigital.co.
Also, if you found our conversation helpful, do us a favor and rate and review this podcast on iTunes, plus share with someone who might find this helpful. You can also connect with us on Instagram at diabetesdigital.co.
And tune in every Wednesday for practical, inclusive, and culturally humble diabetes insights. We'll catch you later. Bye.